This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one-man band. I'm the number one fan. Me and my 88. Me and my 88 friends.
Welcome again to another episode of Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host, and this is episode 29. I want to start today with a song I wrote about my early days called Trying to Obey the Call.
Go back to where it all began. Me and my friends back in Indiana form a three-piece band, bass, drums, and piano, that's all. We didn't sound half bad, we didn't sound red hot, but we prayed real hard and we practiced a lot. We were singing for Jesus, trying to obey the call. We traveled all around for better or worse in a 1959 Cadillac hearse. The ride was smooth. In the streets, some people called us the Jesus freaks, and I have to admit we were caught up in it all. The songs got better and our hair grew long, and the Jesus movement kept coming on strong, and all the while we were trying to obey the law. We would ride into town in the afternoon, set up the equipment and get in tune, then we'd gather in a circle and pray for the fire. Help us tonight as we sing these songs with all our might. If we reach one person, Lord, it's worth it all. This all happened many years ago, and they still don't play me on the radio, and the crowds I draw run medium or small. But I got no regrets for the life I chose. I'm a happy man and I hope it shows. Been a great ride trying to obey the call. It's a good life.
That was Trying to Obey the Call. I want to take you to another song all the way back to my childhood. I recorded it on the CD called The Anchor Holds back in 1997, I believe. This is called The Season of the Harvest.
Thank you.
I was brought up in the Southland with clay beneath my toes. The fields were white with harvest that my daddy used to grow. Through the misty haze of autumn days, the cotton shined like snow in the season of the harvest. So many years ago, they would plant the seed in the springtime and wash the soil each day. They would pray sunshine, trusting all the way. There were years of disappointment, but the joy would always show when the fields
I've got on either side of me here today two people that help make this show what it is today and every day. On my right is Buddy Miles, who is the engineer and co-producer, soon to be demoted, because I had my birthday last week and he forgot to wish me happy birthday. 410 people did, but not my sidekick. But I forgive you, buddy. And what is your birthday, by the way?
April 17th.
Did I send you a birthday message? Of course I did.
You sent me one.
I sent you three because you announced it 3 days in a row. But anyway, this is Buddy Miles. I do love him. I asked God to give me patience, and he sent me Buddy. So Buddy's my teacher. Over on my left is Julie Carroll. You have said hello one time on this show. So hello, Julie. This is your second hello.
Hello, Julie.
Okay, I want to ask you guys a question before I sing a song. Do you remember when you were a little child, did you ever lie in the bed and wonder or fantasize, what is it going to be like when I grow up?
Yeah, I thought we'd have flying cars.
Good. He was a smart little boy, wasn't he? Thinking into the future. How about you, Julie?
I literally thought every day was going to be a parade. There was some parade being in some city, and we were going to go. So that was going to be it. And family reunions.
I used to dream of being 6 feet tall. And I got all the way to 5'11", and it stopped. And I thought, Lord, couldn't you stretch it a half an inch? I mean, that's all I'm asking. So I guess we know that some dreams don't come true, right? Any fantasies you had that didn't come true?
Well, parades definitely weren't every day. So that was a disappointment. So I just started to make my own, I guess. Dressed up the kittens and the farm. And
have you ever sung Don't Rain on My Parade?
Oh, that's a good one. You need to sing that.
Any of your dreams not come true?
Yeah. I haven't caught an alligator yet.
Well, I thought I'd be rich, but I get paid in tacos by co-producing a radio show.
Okay. I'm going to go, part of this show, I'm going to go to the piano. And I'm going to sing several songs that have never been recorded, some of them that have just been sitting in the archives for many years. This first song, and the first verse talks about the dream of being 6 feet, but it's called The Worn Out Dream That Failed. It's all about disillusionment when certain of your hopes don't happen. What do you do then? Do you remember as a child how you would long to be full grown? But it seemed so far away as if it would never come. You would lie in bed at night wondering what it would all be like to be 6 feet tall and a man who could stand on his own. You remember graduation, you were young but oh so sure. There was nothing that you couldn't do given time. It was an age of idealism when you thought all your dreams would come true. But it never came to pass. Now tell me, what will you do? Just a worn out dream that failed. A worn out dream that failed. It let you down and nobody seems to care. For the worn out dream collecting dust somewhere. The longer the time has gone, the further away the dream has run. and now you sense that time has suddenly changed sides. No, things didn't turn out the way you planned, and you're a man who never arrived. And all you've got in your hand for the effort is your wounded pride. Just a worn-out dream that failed, a worn-out dream that failed. It let you down and nobody seems to care. For the worn-out dream collecting dust somewhere. Really doesn't matter if your dreams didn't all come true, 'cause there's a God in heaven who sent his son to say he loves you. He'll give you peace you never dreamed you could have. He'll give you hope for the days ahead. He'll give you something you once thought too good to be true. Something you can live for, and you can live forevermore. And that worn out dream will seem oh so small in comparison to the everlasting life you'll find in his son. To the everlasting life you're gonna find in his son. I decided on this episode I would sing a few songs that have never been recorded yet. I've got a couple of files in a filing cabinet full of old songs written over 50 years. So I pulled that one out, and I also want to sing a couple more that you've never heard before. This was based on a verse I read in 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 8, he says, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Peter says, you've not seen him, but yet you love him. And isn't that the truth? We've never seen Jesus, and yet we love him and we believe in him. And my mind went back to when Jesus was talking to Thomas in the upper room, when Thomas had told the disciples a week earlier that unless he could see Jesus and actually touch where the nails went into his hands, he would not believe. And, of course, you know the story. The next week, Jesus appeared to Thomas, and he says, come, put your finger where the nails were, and put your finger where the sword went in my side. And he said, Lord, I believe. He worshiped him. And Jesus says, you believe because you saw, but blessed are the people to come in the future who will believe even though they didn't see me. And so that was kind of how this song was written and inspired. It's called Still We Love Him.
His wounded hands, still we love him. Yes, we love him. Though we never did view his precious blood as it flowed down from the cross, though we never did see him rise again, still we love him. Yes, we love him. How we love him. Blessed because we have believed, even though has given us His Spirit within, and we love Him. Yes, we love Him. Just sitting here and I'm thinking of an old song in the hymn book. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing. It's worth. It sounds like music in my ears. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
I want to sing it one more time.
A name I love to hear, and I love to sing. It's worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name.
This episode is airing on Memorial Weekend, a time when people think of the fallen soldiers who gave their lives to make this country the great country that it is. And so we want to honor everyone in the military, everyone who has family members who have died in war, But everyone who's served in any capacity, we appreciate you, and we salute you today. In the Bible, they had a regular practice of building memorials to remind them of the things God has done in their lives. There's a memorial on the banks of the Jordan River when Joshua led the people across into the Promised Land. God told them to build it so when people would come by, they would pause and remember. There was a memorial called Ebenezer when the Israelites won a great battle against all odds. Jacob built a memorial when he had the dream and saw the ladder and the angels going up and down. He built an altar. And all throughout the Bible, we are told to remember, write it down, tell our children, tell our grandchildren the great things that the Lord has done. Every now and then I will do that. I will think of all the places throughout the country where I could have built a memorial, significant times in my life when Jesus made a difference, when I was at a turning point and sometimes at a desperate place to get an answer, and he did. He brought the answer. And so with that in mind, I want to sing a song that my band and I re-recorded a few weeks ago called Ebenezer. I've sung this on the radio program several times, but I think it's appropriate for this episode. Ebenezer means the stone of help. Samuel said, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." I've told people before, I don't know what the future holds, but I know one thing. I've got a great track record with trusting the Lord in whatever season I've been in. And I want to just thank him for all he's done for me as we play this song, Ebenezer.
The only thing
nothing that's ever gonna last. Last night I closed my eyes and saw a holy place. There was a stone on the ground. I could hear a sound coming from heavenly space. It said the stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. And my soul cried, Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped me. I did my first record album in 1973 with The Fisherman, and we chose as the title of the album a song that I had written around that time called I Wouldn't Go Back. And I'd like to play that now as I look back over my life and as we think of memorials. There's an old house on the cover of that album cover. It's kind of an odd thing. We were riding through Texas on a back road one day in, I think, 72, and our tire blew out in the middle of nowhere. And there were three of us in the band at the time. There was me, of course. There was Bud, who was the bass player, and there was Carl, who was the drummer and acoustic guitar player. He played mostly drums, but sometimes he'd play acoustic guitar. Well, there's a picture we always get a big laugh at that Bud took. Bud was a photographer. So we have a picture of Carl changing a tire. I'm under a tree reading the Bible, and Bud's taking pictures. Poor Carl had to get the grunt work. But the tire blew out right in front of an old abandoned house, and it was all boarded up. It had been a nice house, but it was an old farmhouse, dilapidated with, you know, boards over the windows and doors. And Bud happened to snap that picture. And of all things, when we decided to do this album, for better or worse, we chose that picture of the old abandoned house to be the cover for the album title, I Wouldn't Go Back. It was sort of symbolic. The old life, that's over. It's dead. It's decaying. I'll never go back there. A few weeks ago, around the same time, my new band and I recorded Ebenezer. We pulled this one out of the archives and did this one. I want to play this again called I Wouldn't Go Back. Going back again. I want to read a little passage out of the Bible before I sing my next song, which is another one that's never been recorded. Actually, it's two songs, a medley. But this is in Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 28. It says, 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, Jacob, and John. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation, by the way, and the translator says that James is really the a new way of saying Jacob, that James and Jacob are the same name. So that's why we say Jacob here. 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, Jacob, and John and climbed a high mountain to pray. As he prayed, his face began to glow until a blinding glory streamed from him. A radiant glory illuminated his entire body. His brightness became so intense that it made his clothing blinding white as multiple flashes of lightning. All at once, two men appeared in glorious splendor, Moses and Elijah. They spoke with Jesus about his soon departure from this world and the things the Father destined him to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had become very drowsy, but they became fully awake when they saw the glory and splendor of Jesus standing there and the two men with him. As Moses and Elijah were about to return to heaven, Peter impetuously blurted, "Master, this is amazing to see the three of you together. Why don't we stay here and set up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah?" While Peter was still speaking, a radiant cloud of glory formed above them and overshadowed them. As the glory cloud enveloped them, they were struck with fear. Then the voice of God thundered from within the cloud, "This is my son, my beloved one. Listen carefully to all he has to say." When the thunderous voice faded away and the cloud disappeared, Jesus was standing there alone. Peter, Jacob, and John were awestruck, but they didn't say a word to anyone about what they had seen. This is what we call the transfiguration. The reason they didn't say anything to anybody is that Jesus told them to keep it quiet. That was their little secret till after he would be raised from the dead. When I read that years ago, I started thinking about those three guys coming down from the mountain. They had to keep the secret. But that didn't mean they could never talk about it among themselves. So I started thinking about the three of them getting in a little corner somewhere the next day. James, who the Passion Bible calls Jacob, began to talk to those guys. What a night we had last night. Can you believe it? Neither can I. But for now, he said to keep it quiet. What a night last night. Peter, tell me what a night it was. Can you believe the things that we've seen? My brother John, still it seems like a dream. He left the nine behind, but two was three, he said. Come up with me, yes, I can't. But I know it's true. Oh, John, what about you? I've seen the lightning, I've seen the golden sunshine beating on the fields early in the morning, but I never seen anything so bright as what we saw last night. I've heard the thunder, I've heard the raging waters beating on our ship in the middle of the night, but I never heard anything like that voice
we heard last night. I've heard about Moses, I've heard about Elijah, how he stood on the mountain and he called down the fire. But I never dreamed we would see them alive in our lifetime. What a night we had last night. What a night last night. It was a strange and beautiful night. It was a strange and wonderful night. Last night. This is my own beloved son. Listen to him and do what he wants done. I've heard it said more times than one. This is my own beloved son. Up on the mountain we were late last night. We saw his clothes turn shining white. Then a cloud covered us and we were stunned. A voice said, this is my own beloved son. This is my own beloved son. Listen to him and do what he wants done. I've heard it said more times than one. This is my own beloved son. My friends were sitting on the bank when he came down to the Jordan River. When he came up, a noise was heard above. Some said it thundered, but some heard it say, this is my own beloved son. Listen to him and do what he wants done. I've heard it said more times than one. This is my own beloved son. This is my own beloved son. Listen to him and do what he wants done. I've heard it said more times than one. This is my own. This is my own. This is my own beloved son.
I think one of the most important verses in the Bible is that verse where the cloud speaks, which is God speaking, and it says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. I wrote that song, Listen to Him and Do What's Done. That sums it all up. That sums life up. This is my beloved son. Listen to him and do what he wants done. When Jesus' mother, Mary, was at the wedding in Cana, and they ran out of wine, and at first Jesus acted as if he wasn't going to do it. She pretty much ignored what Jesus said, and she turned to the servants, and she just said, listen to him. Whatever he says, do it. I know what I'm talking about. And that's Christianity in a nutshell. Do you know the Son? The Son is Jesus Christ. If you know him, listen to him and do what he says to do. That's such an interesting story, and I wish I had more time to really delve into it. But let me just say this, that the disciples were asleep when all this happened. They almost missed it. You could preach a whole sermon there, how God's doing great things, but you can sleep right through it. But when they saw that it was Jesus and Moses and Elijah, it's very interesting. The thing they got excited about really was Moses and Elijah, not Jesus. Jesus was sort of old hat. They'd have been around him, but they were all excited because, my goodness, look at Elijah. Look at Moses. We're actually with Moses and Elijah. And, of course, Peter wanted to stay there. He wanted to build some shelters and just live there. Forget about the nine. Hey, it's just us six. And at that point, the cloud came over them and scared the life out of them. And the voice said, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." And suddenly the cloud lifted, and it was just Jesus and them. And it was like the Father was saying, don't ever get excited about anything more than you get excited about Jesus. He is my beloved son, and your focus has got to be to listen to him and to do whatever he says. And so I want to leave that with you. Do you know Jesus? Do you know that he's God's son? Are you listening to him? And are you doing what he wants you to do? I don't usually say a prayer on this episode, but I think I will do it right now. In case there's anyone out there, you've heard these podcasts maybe more than once. If you know anything about us, we always point it in the direction of Jesus. He is the focus. And we talk about a relationship with him, a friendship with him. And you say, how in the world does that happen? It happens through prayer. It is not hard, but you enter in through prayer, and prayer is just talking to God. That's all it is. And you say, I would like to have this experience that people talk about, being saved or being born again. Well, this is how it happens. We pray. And you come to him and you say, Jesus, I need you. I recognize I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. I believe you're the Son of God. I thank you that according to the Bible, you went to the cross and took my place, took my guilt, and that I can know you, I can follow you, I can receive you and welcome you into my life, and you can lead my life, and you can take all the guilt away from the past and give me a future. So I want you just to pray this prayer with me right now as I pray it. And if you really mean what you're praying, you can have that change in your heart right now. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I need you. I want you to be real in my life more than anything else. I thank you that you love me. You are the Son of God. You came to this earth and actually went to the cross and shed your blood for me to keep me from going to hell or having eternal punishment. And I want to thank you that you have offered to me that if I will just follow you, I can live forever in heaven. So right now, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me for all my sins. Give me the strength to turn away from all of them and to follow you instead. I welcome you into my life. Come and lead me. Come and be my friend. Help me to do the right thing. Help me to keep my eyes on you for the rest of my life. I thank you that your word says that if anyone be in Christ, he's a brand new creature and all the old has passed away. So right now I'm saying goodbye to the old and I'm embracing you. And I want to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to close out the show with a song that one music critic said it's impossible to hear this song without being happy. This song is called Kalamazoo.
Well, the moon's gonna turn crimson red like a ladybug in the sky. And every tribe and tongue, both old and young, we'll see them with the naked eye. Some will fear and some will cheer and some will hope to die. But when the trumpet blows and away we go, I'm gonna kiss this world goodbye. In my sight, some are quiet, some are loud, some stand out in a crowd. Me and my 88, me and my 88 friends. We've been friends for a long, long time, ever since was old enough to climb up on a piano stool and get to know them one by one.